I had a boyfriend. Now I'll tell the story for those of you who are in the classes, and I wouldn't mention it. He was a gypsy, a European gypsy, and it was his lifelong aim to become a South American dictator, and I suspect he's in Bolivia now, working on it. His last words were, "You're too naive," and he just laughed. Anyway, said he was, I don't know, if they were lies, they were good lies. I appreciate a liar who can tell such fantastic ones that you can't really dispute them, you know? He said he worked for the CIA and he'd run guns between Cuba and South America. But, you know, like when we broke up for a whole week, I would hear footsteps outside my window. But then I found out it was some ex-Hell's Angel guy who lived in the building, and there was a pool. He would take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps toward the pool one night a week, every Wednesday night about 4 a.m. And I was always up then, see, because I write from about 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Those are my good work hours. 6 steps, and then he'd stop, and he'd walk back. And so then one night I just told the manager, and he said, "Oh, yeah, old Bill, he never quite makes it, you know, he never made it to the pool." He said, "It's really," and he wore these, you know, those heavy stomper boots, you know, like to stomp the hell out of you with those boots. And, you know, I was convinced, though, that the mafia or somebody was after me after this. "Oh, you should stay away from people like that gypsy." He ran away with $300. He managed the San Clemente Hotel. President Roosevelt had once slept in his room. It's occupied chiefly by Marines and hippies. And the Marines, actually, I think they wore long hair wigs. A lot of the Marines did. I'd see one day with his skinhead. That's what they called him out there. Then he'd have hair down, it was down past his waist. You know, headband and everything. "Hi, man, having a party tonight." Anyway, we should get to the poem. Yeah. But anyway, he managed that hotel, and they don't like it because it's the biggest building in San Clemente, you know. It's very, you know, the tallest building, and they think all those hippies are there. And they were trying to close it down, you know, when I left. I don't know if they succeeded, but it's run owned by this queer who still lived with his mother, who was 45, named Bill Hostler, and he was like a hippie hotel magnate. He had a couple in Hollywood, 2 in Laguna Beach, and 1 in San Clemente, you know. But I lived in a real nice one. See, ours had a pool. It was a little step up from the other ones. It was, they catered to Canadians. After I got there, I found out if you were gay, or if you just didn't give a shit, and if you were a Canadian, dealer, it was all right. But then went the managers. He said, "You can smoke a little grass, it's all right." But then he would bust people. He'd say, "Look what I found in that room," and he'd show me what he'd found, like maybe a spoon, some heroin, or like grass. And he'd say, "I don't know how the cops found out about it." And you know, he had no compunctions. Like, there was a black guy who lived there. And I went to dinner with him. He was gay. I sort of liked his roommate. I was like, "Yeah, I got trapped in a queer triangle for a while." It's real sad. It's heavier than anything, you know. It's really hard. I had to go and help him leave George. I had to help Fred leave George. I was so tired when Fred left. But anyway, George, I went to dinner with George, though. He took me out, and he says, Well, I'm going to lower your rent. George was English. Then I found out that all along that black, he had been charging the black guy and I more rent than anybody else, $20 more. Like, he didn't care. Like, he'd be real nice to me and take me to dinner, and all along he'd been charging me $20 more than other people paid for my rent. It's incredible. That's California. All right, now I'm going to read. Oh, boy, I'm really talking a lot. Jesus. This is called Cuba, 1962. When the rooster jumps up on the windowsill and spreads his red gold wings, I wake thinking it is the sun and call Juanita, hearing her answer, but only in my mind. I know she is already outside, breaking the cane off at ground level, using only her big Indian hands. I get the machete and walk among the cane until I see her lying face down in the dirt. Juanita, dead in the morning like this. I raise the machete. What I take from the earth, I give back and cut off her feet. I lift the body and carry it to the wagon where I load the cane to sell in the village. Whoever tastes my woman in his candy, his cake, tastes something sweeter than this sugar cane. It is grief. If you eat too much of it, you want more. You can never get enough.